new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, folks, I've got to tell you, I'm in a technology squeeze here today, a technology issue. Don't know what's going on, Coach Dave. I'm still here in Boise, Idaho, operating out of our hotel room at, what time is it? I'm operating out of my hotel room here at 5:02. I hope people don't start pounding on my walls because I'm so loud. Got folks, listen, here's what's going on. Today is the total eclipse of the sun. Most of you are probably aware that that's going on. I got some information I'm going to share. If I even get back to my computer's acting crazy, I'm doing this actually over my cell phone. There's like a million people here, literally like a million people. And so you can imagine what's going on with the cell phone. We tried to get online here in the internet and in the hotel. I'm sorry, I keep looking at the wrong camera because I got two cameras running. Tried to get online here at the hotel. I had good strong internet there for a bit, and then all of a sudden, boom, it was gone. And I said, well, I know what's going on. Everybody's getting up this morning because the bus for the internet or up for the eclipse is leaving at 5:30. So everybody's getting up now. I'm sorry about how dark it is here. I really don't know if there's a lot I can do about it. Maybe I can move this here. It might help a little bit. So I went to my hotspot home. I'm not trying to listen. You don't want to know about the technology. I just want you to know we have a great technological struggle here at the Hear the Watchman conference in Boise, Idaho. It's been a great weekend. I'll talk a little bit about that. But I'm having tech issues, okay? There are at least a million people here in Boise and the surrounding area. I just saw this astounding statistic. There are 60 million people within a 4-hour drive of where we are right now. This is prime area number one for seeing the eclipse. We're crazy, folks. Listen, we are crazy. We're losing our stinking mind. And I have some stuff I can show you here if I can get my computer to log on. Jared can feed us from wherever he is. But man, it gets crazy. So I'm supposed to be getting on a bus here in about 45 minutes and going up into the mountains where they say there's going to be a moving parking lot. Picture that if you can. A moving parking lot of here's what's happened. All the tree huggers are here. All the Wiccans, all the crazy people, all those crazy Christians who believe in it's the apocalypse and we're going to be raptured off of the mountain. They're all here. And it's turned into like a big carnival atmosphere. Michelle and I really have not even hardly left the hotel here. We run out to get something to eat at the breaks. But for the most part, I'm in this most beautiful area that you could ever be in. And I haven't really hardly left the hotel just because it is absolutely nuts. So, hey Jared, see if I can't get on my – folks, listen. Normally what I do here in the morning – please bear with me a second. I do some program prep. And I've done some program prep here this morning. But I can't – for some reason, I can't even get my daggone computer to turn on and get me to that page. Jared, can you real quickly, Jared, maybe read to me the first top three things that I sent you? Okay, let's go – Go to that eclipse one, Jared. Go to the eclipse one. I don't want to talk about the eclipse other than, how do I say this in a really nice way? It's been a focus. It's the signs in the skies and in the stars. It's been a focus talked about a lot here at the event that we're at, although that really wasn't the focus. That really wasn't the focus of the event. We've had Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli and Dr. Michael Lake, and it's been great, great stuff. And we had a guy named Scott Clark yesterday that just did an absolutely unbelievable presentation on the stars and what's going on in the alignments. And I did my thing on Saturday morning. I think it was Saturday morning. Uh, if I I lit the place up, as you can probably imagine. And I lit the place up saying, listen, this is all good. But pardon my French, what the hell are we doing studying the stars? We all know what the times in which we live. We know the imminent return of Jesus Christ could happen at any moment. We're all in here. And I did a little presentation, said, listen, dude, it's paralysis by analysis. Quit looking at the stars. You're like a football player. You line up and you don't know who to block. And the ball snapped, and so you don't hit anybody. And I said to everybody, hey, hit somebody. Hit somebody. And that's become the theme, believe it or not. You wouldn't believe the number of times that's been repeated from the stage today. Hit somebody. Because what I'm trying to get people to see is, listen, the signposts are there. Okay, I'm looking at this moon. Okay. I see how it lines up with, okay, I see how, I get it. What the heck does that have to do with me? What can I can't change the stars. I can't change the eclipse. I can't control anything. The rapture's coming tomorrow. I can't do anything about that. What is it in your life that you can do something about? What can we do something about? Quit having this and paralysis because of the analysis. And that's where I am here today after this whole weekend and all the folks, I'm telling you, this has been such an anointed time together. Unbelievable. It's been great. It's been great. About 400 people. Great stuff that's been shared with us. But how do we ever, this is the trick of tricks. Scott Clark spoke last night. Nobody's supposed to give the day of the hour, right? We're not supposed to be doing that. He says, listen, the rapture is going to be on 9/23/17. 30 days. 30 days after today, because today is the eclipse is a warning from the stars. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I don't want to drag you into the mud. Today is the eclipse. The eclipse has always meant a warning to repent. And 30 days from now, 33 days from now, I'm sorry, there's numerology, and we'll get into that a little bit. 33 days from now is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's the day that Jesus is returned. That's the day of the rapture. I mean, they're actually, Scott Clark makes an unbelievable case for it. So I said to my wife, and I said to Sarge, who's here, and George, who's here, and Jeff, who's here, and Gary's here. I said, my goodness, hit somebody. What is it we can do? If there is a rapture and a rapture is coming in 33 days, are we supposed to sit around here for the next 33 days? Why, right? Write love letters to our family? What are we supposed to do? Jesus said to occupy till I return. And I'm just going to tell you, that's one of the craziest things that's going on. So I'm supposed to get on a bus. Michelle and I are supposed to get on a bus and drive up into that mess. And I can't really see what Jared's got up on the screen there. Let me see, Jared. Folks, please bear with me a second. My computer won't lock. I can't get on for whatever reason. I click that button and go to my Gmail account, and it spins and it spins and it spins. It says Google Chrome is unresponsive, so I can't see it. Jared, can you pull? It's hard to pull up that article and narrate it without me being able to see it. Let's see here, Jared. I'm trying to, folks. There it is. I got it on my little phone. Hey, bear with me, okay? I'm sorry. Hey, Jared, let's scroll down. It says Eclipse Mania. Millions of America sit in some of the worst traffic jams in history. They say it's going to be a 9 hour. I don't even have the horror of it. A 9 hour parking lot. The eclipse is going to last 1 minute and 54 seconds. So it's going to last. Now, Jared, I want you to scroll down. I want to scroll people to scroll down. Just see some of these pictures that are in on this. On this site here of what it is we're dealing with, and ask yourself, do you want to do that? Look at this. This is just right now today. Can you make that a little bit bigger, Jared? This is, folks, understand this. This is a what you're looking at is a state park. This is a state park. This is a state park from Saturday. This isn't a city. This isn't a picture of downtown Boise. This is a state park up in the mountains on Saturday. Hey, Ray, do I want to drive into that? Do I want to get in a bus and drive up into this parking lot mess? Holy smokes. We're
Hope
supposed to.
they have a bathroom on board.
Can you imagine, bud? Huh? Can you imagine? I hope they have one on board. Can you imagine all those people leaving at the same time? Now, maybe they won't. Scroll on down, Jared. Hey, folks, the world is crazy. We're crazy. There's another picture of it. This is on Saturday. This isn't a city. This is not a town you're looking at. This is a state park. Look at this. And here's what's nuts. Right here where I am in Boise, Idaho, right now, in this hotel in Boise, I can go open up my window and look out my window, and I can see when the total eclipse comes. It'll be an hour, a minute, 54 seconds. I'll be able to see it 99% full. I'll just be, this is good. Do I want to drive 9 hours in a parking lot to get that extra 1% view of what's going on? Oh my God, my wife just sighed. Oh, she's still laying over there in her bed. She just sighed. Next one, Jared, scrolling down. So here's what's happening. They're bringing all the fruits and the nuts are here. Scroll down to the next page. Okay, first of all, that's got, I could go on and on and on and on. Okay, there's a total eclipse there where it's going to go. And it's going to start up at the 30 in Salem, Oregon. Going to be coming in. I'm going to do something on numerology here if I can get everything. If I can get my act together. There you see the path of the eclipse. The actual best, the most central place will be just outside of St. Louis, Rich, if you're out there, but in your area is going to be the longest eclipse, going to be about 2 minutes there. But you see the path of the eclipse. And so people all around the country are watching this dude thing going up, Jared. Another significance is, I don't even want to get into that. It makes my head spin. So here we are. Here's some pictures from the festival. Go up a little bit again, Jared. I'm sorry. There they are. All the fruits and the nuts are out there. Hey, you want to get on a bus and ride up there? Be part of this. All the Wiccans and the hippies. It's Woodstock all over again. Go to the next one, Jared. Folks, I'm not trying to bore you going down because some of you can't see it. I know you're listening on the phone. They're camping out inside gymnasiums. Next page. They got band that's up there doing marching band. This is Southern Illinois University, I think it is. They set up festivals. This is outside of a high school state. They set up a festival there. There aren't any people there for some reason. Attendance was light. People, I mean, they're hitting everywhere. Just a couple more pictures, Jared, and then we'll get done. There they are again. Look at these. Is this who you want to be with? I want to go 9 hours and do this. Oh, there's two homos. These two girls got married and they're celebrating their marriage here. Oh, and there's a couple more tree huggers and there's more of them coming. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then the Christians going to be up there waiting for the rapture. I suppose if you're up high in the mountains, you get to go first. You'd be the first ones off the earth if it happens. More of the festival look. Okay, so I'm going. We can go on with all these pictures. I heard somebody break in. Anybody got something to say? No? Okay, nuts, man. It's nuts. There it is. So we all want to go. Look at big girl in the back. She doesn't have a top on. Oh my goodness, my goodness. So my wife and I've kind of made the decision that we'll settle for 99% here. Okay, so cool. Now listen, let me shift gears on you. Hey, Jared, I'm done with it, with the eclipse. But the thing is, see, folks, I was having this conversation yesterday with this thing. What a day here! My computer now wants to restart. I suppose it wouldn't matter if it did, but I don't want it to. I haven't. Scripture says this. That an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And I always learned that, or was taught, that that meant if you needed a sign, if you didn't have enough faith to believe on your own, then you're evil and adulterous. But that's it, folks. The church has lost its power. There's no power in the church at all. No power at all. And the reason that Christianity seems to be fading so badly is because, hear me, an evil and adulterous generation, they need a sign. They're looking for power. So they turn to drugs. They turn to tree hugging. They turn to the environment. They come from all over the world to get up on a mountain to get as close as they can to the sun for when this total eclipse hit, because they're evil and adulterous, and they're seeking after a sign. And the church has nothing to offer them. It caused me great, great sadness. And we don't understand the scripture. Jesus said you can sit on your back porch and you can see a storm cloud building, and you know it's going to be a stormy day. Or you can see the sunrise, red sky at night, sailor, red sky at morning, sailor take warning. We all know that, right? Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. Jesus said you can read the sun, you can read the weather. Why is it you can't discern the signs of the times? So we are so interested. Help me here. Before I fell, I couldn't go to sleep last night. And I was laying there on the pillow, tossing and turning. My wife, she hit the bed and she sound bang, bang, she was gone. And I've asked myself this very piercing question I'm going to ask you. When I was a kid, and mom and dad told me, hey, listen, Dave, Saturday, we're going to go to Cedar Point. We're going to go up and ride all the rides. And they told me that on Monday. I would get up on Tuesday, and I'd say, Mom, is it Saturday yet? No, honey, a couple more days. And then I get up on Wednesday. Mom, is it Saturday yet? From the time they told me we were going to go on this wonderful trip, I would get up, and every day I was ready. I was so excited to go. Help me out here, guys. Why am I not excited if the rapture's coming? Does that excite you guys? Should it excite us? If there is a rapture and we're all going to be sucked up out here, evacuated out here, should we be excited about that? When I got the news, when Scott Clark said, listen, here's the day. Here's the day. It's 9/27/17. Should I go to mom and say, is today it, mom? Is today it? How many of you watching? I'm just curious. Some of you, help me out here in the queue. Would be excited if you knew that it was actually the 27th. Would you be excited? Am I wrong that my heart's not leaping, that it could be 33 days from today? What do you think?
Yeah.
Jump in here.
I saw it. I wasn't excited.
Same here.
Why is that, Don? Why, Vince? I mean, if heaven's our home, that's really where we all want to go. Why aren't we excited? Why aren't we excited? Why is my heart not excited that this whole thing's about over here?
Because our mission isn't done yet.
Say it again, Vince.
I was saying our mission isn't done here yet.
Brother, that's the way I feel. My mission isn't done here yet.
Amen.
It isn't done here yet. And I tried to help share with everybody understand what an urgency is. We should have an urgency. If we really believe 33 days from now, 33 days from now, there ought to be an urgency. And then I also get worried about this. Oh, my goodness. If it doesn't come on 9/27/17, do you have any idea how kooky we look again? No, I don't care if I look kooky. I'm used to looking kooky. I don't care about that. But I'm thinking about the lost world reading us and watching Christians, the way we're acting, and I'm not excited about it, you know? I'm not excited about it.
I agree with that, Coach.
Should I be, John? Should we be excited about it? My computer just loaded. What the heck is that all about? Should we, John?
Well, I know
some. Are you excited?
For myself, I am, but there's too many I love that are still in the world and not going.
Amen. Is anybody out there excited? If you knew it was coming,
Coach,
am I missing it? Is my heart too tied to this earth? Do
no,
I love
Coach.
This world too much? Go ahead, Ray.
I was just gonna say, it creates more of a burden on my heart. I really don't believe we're going to be raptured then, but it's a burden on the heart that, man, there's millions of people, and God's just starting to a movement of his people that are willing to get out there and witness, and then all of a sudden be snatched away before these people are reached. It still makes sense.
Right, Ray, you're blessing my heart. Let me tell you one of the things that the Lord moved on me yesterday. Boy, that sounds religious, doesn't it? But you have to be here to understand. It's been 3 days of constant teaching. It's been really good. I mean, I'm not making light of it. It's been really good. But I'm sitting there. I gave up. Someday you'll be able to get access to this, the presentation I made. It was really, really good. I talked about the Salt and Light Brigade and showed videos of some of the things we've done. It was really good. And the crowd was really, really moved. And my point, as I said at the beginning of the show, now that I'm catching my stride a little bit, as I said at the beginning of the show, come on, man, hit somebody. Quit looking at the stars. Quit looking at it. Jesus said to occupy till I return. It says no man knows the day of the hour. Keep working. Work while the sun shines, because the day cometh when no man could work. So yesterday, about we're having some of those afternoon sessions, a speaker was going on, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Coach, I think he called me Coach. Maybe I just, in my head, that's how he said to me. And it says, they got to get organized. They got to get organized. And I'm thinking, what? Because I was doing a little breakout session, an hour on training people how to get involved and what to do. I said, oh, my goodness. So I went to the guy, Mike Kerr, who runs the thing. I went to Mike and said, hey, Mike, I want my session. Bring all the people from Idaho. Let me have all the people who are here from Idaho. Please ask them to come to my session. I want to get them organized. Ask them to come to my session. So when we went to that breakout session, about 35 people from right here in this Boise area. Are you ready for this? 35 people from Boise, Idaho. They don't even freaking know each other. They don't even know each other. We got in the room, me and Kevin and Jeff was with us, and Gary was in there. And we get them all in there and say, come on, man, let's exchange email addresses. Let's exchange phone numbers. You guys have to begin to get like a little Salt and Light Brigade going here. You guys are all awake. You want to do something. You see the world's going to hell. You need a strategy. Let's all get organized here. And when we walked out of that room yesterday, man, and I tried to paint a picture for him, said, come on, look, there's 35 of you here. What if each of you built a downline of 5 people? You got 135 people. And then what if they each got 5? Now we're over 700 people. These people are here. And then, you know what the Lord said to me? Oh, it's powerful. Oh, my goodness. I was reminded of when the boys were out fishing. It was Peter, I think, early in Jesus' ministry. He comes by. Maybe it was John. I don't know which one it was. He comes by, and they're coming on the – the boat's coming in. They've been out fishing all day. And Jesus is standing on the sideline on the shores. They're coming in. He says, hey, boys, been catching any fish? Man, they were ticked off because they hadn't. So Jesus says, well, come on, let's go. Let's go back out. And he runs and gets on the boat with them, and they go back out there. They're mad. They don't want to do it. Their day's over. He says, no, you guys are fishing all wrong. You're fishing all wrong. He says, come on. He gets on the boat, and they go back out in the boat, and they get out there, and they throw their nets in, they sail along a little bit, and they pull the nets up and aren't any fish in it. Now they're really ticked off at Jesus. Said, are you kidding me? You know what he said? Unbelievable. So they, dudes, cast your net on the other side. In other words, find a new fishing hole. Find a new fishing hole. You guys are still fishing in the church. Get out of the church. They're not coming. The people who are on your side, they are not in the church. Look at you folks here. Come on here. Get your eyes open. Cast out your net on the other side of the boat. And I think they got it, man. I think they got it. And that, folks, that's what we've got to do. Hey, come on, are you catching anybody watching this show catching any fish in your church? When you walk in your church and you're trying to share all this, anybody getting any bites?
I have the same experience. I have the same
you go
experience.
Back, sorry, you go back. You go back the next Sunday. You throw your line in there. Nobody bites. You go back, and after a while, people get mad because they know you keep throwing that bait out there, and they don't want to take the bait. And you keep going back, keep fishing in the same hole. Go ahead. Was that somebody? Was that you, John? The guy
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I experienced the exact same thing. That they're lost. Know they're lost. Some of those that sit in a pew think they're saved, and they don't know it. They don't have the truth. They don't have all the truth.
They got enough truth just to make them dangerous, don't they? Just to make them dangerous. And, you know, yesterday we had a luncheon. Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers was a speaker yesterday at the luncheon we had. And he said this. He said, folks, listen. Right where you live, you better build a community. Do you even know your neighbors? Do you even know them? If the crap hits the fan right where you live and the grid goes down, the guy that lives next door to you, is he a friend or is he a foe? The guy across the street, is he a friend or is he a foe? The people down around the block, down in the cul-de-sac, they friends or are they foes? He says, all this stuff's going on. Everybody's prepping and everybody's doing all this stuff. He says, you got to build a community right where you are. He said, right within your community. There's somebody that's an electrician. Somebody's a car mechanic. Somebody knows something about guns. Somebody knows something about cooking food. Somebody knows about something about clean water. Somebody knows something. He said, it's all right around you, but you are not connected. Build a community right where you are. And I'm thinking, man, that's a downline thing I've been talking about. That's a downline. And as many of you know, Michelle and I moved to a new home. I'm thinking, God, I don't know anybody around me. If things go bad, what's he saying? Go to a new fishing hole. Go to a new fishing hole. You might be surprised. My buddy Tom Munn, some of you know Tom. He's been on the show here before. Amazing thing. I was standing out in the audience or in the auditorium talking to this guy. This guy came up to me and he was moved by what I had to say, yada yada. And he just starts vomiting over me. All this stuff's in his heart and what's going on. We got to do this, we got to do that. And nobody will hear and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, hang on here a minute. I got a buddy who lives right here. You need to meet the buddy. So I go get my buddy Tom, bring Tom over and they shake hands. You know something? It's his neighbor. It's his neighbor. And he didn't even know it. And he says, what street do you live on? The guy says, oh, Tom said, I live. He says, oh, are you that big house? Yeah, I'm in the house. It's his stinking neighbor. Their neighbor's right by you, right where you live. There are people right on the other side of your boat. You've been fishing in the JR. Is JR out there today? You there, JR? I can't see my list. Everybody's with me today. Because JR is a great fisherman. In fact, I know of a pastor that said he supports the public schools because it's his fishing hole. Huh? Wonder how many he's winning there in that fishing hole. So we have to get, we got to change our paradigm, boys. We got to change the way we think. We got to start fishing in a different hole. There are 500 people here. 50 from Boise, and none of them knew each other. It said a lot to me. Somebody's got something to say. Jump in here. I'm sorry if I can't call you by name because I can't see my screen like I usually can. And my computer's acting a fool.
No worries. But that's pretty sad. Right next to a neighbor, he just didn't even recognize him. No,
didn't. And so I asked Tom about this. Why is that, Tom? He says, well, you know what, Coach? He said, to be honest with you, I try to lay low. Because I don't want people to, if things go bad, I'm kind of scared about who might show up at the door. That makes sense, doesn't it? So he said, we just kind of lay low. Hey, guys, that ain't good. You got to know who's with you and who's against you. And I think maybe when I get back, now that we're new in the neighborhood, I think maybe I'm going to go door to door and I'm going to hand out flyers and I'm going to invite people to come over to my house because I want to talk to them about a community watch thing. And I'm going to start right there. And I'm going to find out right in my neighborhood whose eyes are open and whose eyes aren't. And I find this guy, there may only be one. There may be two. There may not be any. But there might be five people in my neighborhood who know what's going on, who understand it. And I will never meet them in church because we all go to different churches if we go at all. But I'm going to have this little flyer say, listen, I want to get that, set up a neighborhood watch. That's what I'm going to do, and invite them and see if I catch any fish. Any comments on that?
Hey, brother, last night, you know, the house that you guys stayed in when you came down there for the flood relief, Frank and Maria, they're back. They're back. And so we had them over at dinner last night. My new neighbors who haven't even moved in across the street, they came by last night. And, brother, we're going to have a block party to do that very thing in October, to get to know everybody in the neighborhood. Everybody, I mean, I know many of the people, but you know, that's exactly what we were talking about last night at dinner. I had them all over for dinner. We were talking. I said, let's have a block party. Let's get to know our neighbor. And if you don't know your neighbor, what a great opportunity. Even if you're not thinking or seeing things politically, at least then you know who they are. Maybe, like you said, it's an incredible thing. And so I would encourage anybody to do something like that.
See, Dale, it just makes sense to me, right? I mean, if things go bad, who knows what it would be, right? Another hurricane comes down there. What if, to not know the people around you, who's with you and who's against you and who can help you and who can't help you, and there you are at your house and you're struggling and you can't do it all by yourself, and the guy right beside you has a gift that
yep.
We see it, absolutely. Right?
When I grew up, that's what we're talking about. When I grew up, and probably when you grew up, we knew everybody in the neighborhood. We knew everybody.
But you know why we don't anymore?
Not anymore.
It's this thing I'm talking to you on right now. We retreat into our technology. We're going to watch our computers. We're going to watch our Netflix. We get on our phone and Google. We do not know each other anymore. And I'm not saying that you're going to become best buddies with your neighbors, but I'm going to tell you this. Your neighbor is going to know somebody who knows somebody. And all of a sudden, you're going to have yourself a little community, a little network of believers, maybe not even great deep Christian believers. But in times of strife, you'd do well to know who's around you. Anybody else?
Let me take this on a positive, though. Those same people who you lived into that house, when they moved in, the first interaction that they had with us, when they found out I was a pastor, their testimony, his wife looked at him and said, put a fence between our property and a for sale sign in our front yard. That's what they thought of pastors. And brother, now, remember, they moved. They gave me the keys to the house. They said, everybody come on down. I'm telling you, it was incredible. And now, and they go to our church now.
Can I tell you something, folks? That's a great story. Can I tell you? I'm just going to tell you. Sometimes the unsaved are better neighbors than the saved. That's a crazy thing to say, isn't it? We Christians sometimes are so hard to deal with, so arrogant, so keep to our selfish. Brother, we have to tear down some of those barriers. And I think the point that Stuart Rhodes was making, you got to find out in your neighborhood who's on your side. You got to find that out. Because if you don't find it out and all hell breaks loose, you're going to spend the first part trying to figure out who you can trust and who you can't trust. And he said to live in an environment like that is not a very smart position to be in. That's why he said keep your lamps trimmed, right? The foolish virgins and all that stuff. He said that's all about preparation and those around it. He said if you think, listen, this is good, Chad. You listening, Chad? He said, if you think, Stuart Rhodes, if you and your son and your 500 guns that you've got and your room full of ammunition, if you and your son think you are going to hold off the hordes, he says, you're some of the dumbest people on the earth. He says, your gun's going to help you for a little bit. But if hordes show up, or if government shows up in those great big old M1s or whatever those things are, those tanks or those, you know what I'm talking about, right? When they show up with a great show of force, you think you and your son going to fight them off? How dumb are you? He said, for your own safety and security, you better build yourself a community around you. Somebody jump in here.
That's good. That's true. The loss are scared of what's with death. They don't know what's on the other side. Those of us who know Scripture and have the Holy Spirit in us have that assurance And we have to share that with them because they do fear their death.
Amen. So do we have an obligation? See, I mean, I'm just going to go where this has gone here this morning, okay? You going to shoot your neighbor? Are you going to shoot your neighbor that you don't know? That doesn't sound very good to me. To shoot a neighbor I don't know. Now, if I have to at some point to defend myself, shoot a person that I don't know for fear of protecting my family, that's a different situation. But if my neighbor comes over, am I going to shoot him without ever really knowing him? And so we don't have to put ourselves in that position. We don't have to be there. And by having that little block party, as Dale was talking about, we're going to have one. Go door to door to door. When I catch word that something's coming down, something's not good, I'm going to go tell my neighbor. I'm going to go warn him. I'm going to warn the people. Say, hey, listen. Hey, Joe, did you hear about that? Man, better get ready. Hey, if you need me, Joe, I'm ready. I got my cell phone with me. Exchange cell phone numbers. Because right where you are, you're going to have to maybe dig in. Take care of your family right where you are. And I haven't done that. I haven't done that at all. In fact, the home that we moved from, I hate to tell you, we were there 15 years. I didn't know all my neighbors. Isn't that awful? Really, isn't that awful? Christian guy. I should have been knocking on every one of those doors, visiting those people, helping them, let them know I'm here. I just haven't. So I'm going to up my game in that aspect of it, and I suggest the rest of you do it as well. Anybody else? I'll move on here.
Yeah, Coach, right here. One other thing that I've been preparing for is in this regard is to buy a bunch of garbage food, like ramen noodles and beans. Yeah. And then when my neighbors do come looking for food, I'll give them the garbage and keep the good stuff and kind of warn them, you know, don't tell anybody, but, you know, I'm helping you, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, I want you to think about that, Ray. That's a great idea, folks. I want you to think about this. I'm seeing these million people that are around here. Oh my goodness, what are they going to do if they run out of gas? I mean, it's great. So you can see what could happen with chaos in a well-populated area, and we have to prepare ourselves for that. And I'm not trying to be doom or gloom. Scott Clark says I only got 33 days left anyway. Well, I'm going to work while the sun shines, because I believe a day cometh when no man can work. So it is what it is. It is what it is. Here's what you got to look at. I haven't been home. I haven't been in front of a TV. It's so marvelous. My wife and I are in this beautiful hotel room. Beautiful big screen TV, and we haven't turned it on once. And walked in the room and thought, God, turn on the TV. And not one time. I've had a little bit of time on the internet, but not much. So I really don't know what's going on. But I did catch this. It baffles me. In Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, I think it was. What is today, Monday? Yeah, I think it was Saturday. They had a rally to tear down Christopher Columbus. Now, Columbus, Ohio, is the namesake of Christopher Columbus. Okay, at City Hall in downtown Columbus, there is a huge statue out front of Columbus, Christopher Columbus. Makes sense. City's named after him. Statue to him at City Hall. Did you lose me? No, there it is. Somebody calls me. So all of a sudden, there's a rally in Columbus, Ohio, to tear down the Christopher Columbus statue. Now, somebody help me. How did they get organized? I try to organize all the time. If I got on the phone and I tried to call 10 churches to get 100 people to something, I might get 10, maybe 10. And all of a sudden, there are 100 people outside the Christopher Columbus statue in Columbus, Ohio, wanting the statue to be taken down. See, they're already organized. You say, well, Coach, that's George Soros. It's paying them.
Okay. I was going to say, it's money.
Well, what are we doing? What, Where did they all connect? We're not even connected. We're trying to connect here, but we're not connected. And so again, we are losing because we are disunified, disorganized, and isolated. Right where we live, we're isolated. Now, if I wrote a big letter to the editor of Columbus Dispatch today, said, hey, meet me next Saturday. We're going to stand up for Christopher Columbus. Well, I'd get 20 people. And then the anti-Christopher Columbus people would come and they would steal the event. They'd steal the event. Hijack it. So it just is all, in my mind, it's all just continues to be part of the same problem. We got to get ahead of this thing, boys. We got to quit being on defense and go on some offense. Somebody jump in here. Come on, help me.
Yeah, I want to respond to that.
Hey, Bobby, by the way, I'm glad you're here. I couldn't see that you're in here. You were at the conference, Bobby, because I played that video that you made when you came down to Louisville, Kentucky. You did that video. I don't know if you even remember it, Bobby, that video. You interviewed me there on that street corner. So, Bobby, yeah. you spoke at the conference on Saturday. Congratulations. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Hey, you know, each church is its own little gatekeeper. I see it as you're going to walk into a church, you're going to have X person in front of you or a panel of whatever, you're going to say whatever, and they're going to look at you and process it and then probably do nothing. If I go to my workplace, which I have or other people have or trainings or meetings, you're going to suggest something and you're going to get bobbleheads. And it's pretty much for the most part going to stop right there. In comparison to the Antifa crowd or the communist crowd, these radical people, you got social media that's running fluid and right now, and it's not like they have responsibilities. They don't have places to be. They got fluid information and fluid feet that takes them right out onto the street to create chaos.
Yep. And unfortunately, whether we want to hear you.
We can hear him.
Okay, good. Okay. That's happening. They're organized. We know George Soros is paying them. We understand that. But can I tell the truth? He raised $10,000. Do I have a network that'll say, hey, I'll give you $25 an hour to come? Are people going to come on our side? See, I think part of it is people aren't going to come on our side because we have been taught in our churches, number one, don't be angry. Coach, you're so angry. Coach, find somewhere to channel that anger. We don't get pissed about anything. Oh, you know, we get mad if the Buckeyes get beat. We get mad if somebody overcharges us something. We get mad at stupid stuff. But we don't get mad at anything that matters. And the other side is playing into their rage. They are playing into their rage. And so you go into your church and you go talk to your pastor about something that's really ticking you off, and he's going to calm you down. He's not going to help you deal with the issue. He's going to tell you, well, you're going to have to deal with it with the way it is, rather than saying, you know what, Dave, you're right. Let's do something about that. Rather than getting rid of the injustice that's making you angry, the church is teaching you, just accept it, brother. Just accept it. Don't get angry. When I believe anger is a motivating factor. You look at the people George Soros is paying. It may be a good job. They may be getting $25 an hour in benefits and all this. This is some of the stuff I'm hearing. But can I tell you something else? Them dudes is pissed. They may be getting paid, but they're pissed. We're not. We don't get mad about anything. We don't get mad about anything. They're murdering babies. Say, let's go to Planned Parenthood and get them to stop murdering babies. Nah, coach. Lord will take care of it. By the way, we only got 33 days left here anyway. That's the attitude in the church. See? And I don't know how we shift that. I don't know how we shift that attitude paradigm. I don't know what we do about it.
Coach, I think you've got a great idea, and I've thought about it but haven't really followed through on it, is going through your own neighborhoods. I think that's a great place to start. Now, with the Natural Family Foundation, we're trying to do this nationwide, But I think you're right, coming back to the local level. And of course, our message is, would be, okay, we believe in the natural family, one man, one woman, one blue, one pink, lifelong committed right. relationship, biological and or adopted children. And it's an easy message. And I don't know what your message is going to be, but I'd recommend you at least try to start off with something like that, because it's a very innocent message. And it's not peculiar to the church. Joe, you know, the plumber can accept that. Joe doesn't want his 14-year-old daughter being pregnant or his 15-year-old son being the prom queen. I mean, he knows that.
Right.
But to start right. with that message. But I think at the local level, I think it's a great idea what you're proposing. And I'd like to know what you're going to use as fishing bait, if you would. Because I think we all need to do this.
Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jared.
I can just say that I'm thinking, as I think about it right now, is I'm thinking about walking around all my neighbors and saying, hi, my name is Jared Heath. Yes. I'm thinking about starting a neighborhood watch. And so don't get excited if you see me walking down the street for an hour with a gun in a uniform. I'm just trying to protect the neighborhood as a presence of force. Because guess what? That's what we did in Iraq. That's what we did on our police actions in war zones. We showed a presence of force. And so I would just stand up and say, I'm going to protect you, so don't freak out if you see me trying to do that. Okay? And I would love it if you would join me.
Jared is saying, whether you want to take a gun or not, that's a whole thing. You know, we all live in different communities, different environments. But I think what Jared, the whole idea is, listen, I'm concerned about what's going on, the crime, everything. And listen, I want to start a block watch. Anybody interested in joining together to help keep an eye on our neighbor? I think they'll come for that, JR. One of the things that we see, listen, folks, Lord, we have to learn to speak the language. Or can I say this? We have to learn to unspeak it. I have to learn to unspeak it. I don't have to leave with my Christianity. I don't have to do that. In fact, that's not, well, we were having our event the other night, and the other side of the hotel, there was a bar. They had some playing some music. You could hear it through there. And you could walk, one guy walked outside to go to the bathroom or something, and the two guys are out there having this conversation about those church people over there, those church people. Now, think about that. That's what the average person thinks, isn't it? I mean, is it really? We have got to take a good self-evaluation of who we are if we are going to fish on the other side of the boat. We have to lead, as JR said, we have to lead with an issue that will appeal even to the lost guy. And once you build that relationship with the lost guy, now you hit him with the gospel. But if you go around and you're leading, hey, you know, we're Christians and all that, because Christian may be a good thing to you, but it may not be a good thing to the people that you're dealing with. And I'm not telling you to deny your faith or hide your faith. Just don't lead with it. Now, I'm one to talk, right? I lead with it everywhere I go. But Michelle and I, you hearing this, honey? We're going to go home and I'm going to make up a flyer, and I'm going to go door to door in my neighborhood, and I'm going to put those things on there and say 7 o'clock Saturday night at our house, we're going to organize a block watch, and we'd love to have you come and be part of it. That's how I'm going to start with it. And from that, you can spread the gospel, I think.
Well, Coach, you never know, but there might be, like here where we're at, I didn't know this, but my neighbors who just came back said that there's a Faran, that's where I live in the block, is Faran. They have a Faran page web connection, like a social connection like this, that is for the neighborhood. It's for the neighborhood. Wow. And so it's just another avenue. It's the same social media that has got all the anarchists and everybody else hooked up, but this is on the good side of it.
Yep.
And if we say that we love our neighbor, you know, we go to the clinic, we say we love our neighbor, you know, when Jesus referred to the neighbor many a times in the Bible, it says when your neighbor comes and asks you for something in the middle of the night, he's talking about your next door neighbor.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, man, this is where we are. This is really, really where we are. And as I said, you guys know that nobody leads with the gospel more than I. But I'm thinking in this situation, I just pull back a little bit, because there are some people who are very, very moral people who've never received Christ. And they don't understand Christianity. And really all they know about Christianity is what they've seen on TV. And maybe they were raised in a home where there was a little bit of Christianity in there. Grew up in a time when people went to church. And so they've dabbled in it, But they don't get it. They don't understand it. And the old idea, I hate to use the term friendship evangelism. Well, I'm not doing friendship evangelism. I'm doing friendship security. And when I do friendship security, then the evangelism part's going to follow on that. But you don't know, and I don't know, right in my neighborhood, what hunk of gold might be sitting right in my neighborhood who can help when times get rough. But if we don't knock door to door, we don't know that. And so you get that neighborhood watch going, and this lady says, "Oh, yeah, I'm really good in, I'm good at cooking." And another guy says, "I'm really good at water. I've been studying how to get clean water and how to see this big lake over where I live. I've been studying how to get algae out of water because we might need to drink that." All of these gifts might be right there in your neighborhood, but you're not going to know it if you don't try to reach out and bring that together. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen, wine, brother.
I'm going to wind.
Amen.
I'm going to wind down here a little bit, looking at the clock. My phone's rang 3 times. That's why you guys don't know. They're probably wondering where I am. I hope they're not holding the bus up for me, because from what I understand, I can probably walk and catch up to the bus, but that's okay. I heard from our dear friend Michael Andrews down in Savannah that his daughter was rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night with some type of seizure. And he said, it was an email this morning, he said she seems to be okay, but just would appreciate some prayers. So I want to offer a prayer up for Michael right now, and just ask that you guys would join with me. Michelle, do you remember her name? Is it Gabrielle? Michelle? I think it's Gabby. Well, Lord, we just come to you as a great physician, a great healer, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And just ask right now that you would touch little Gabby lying in the hospital, Lord, whatever it is, whatever's out of the line. And you being the great physician, you could touch her and heal her and put everything back into whether it's something she's eaten, whether it's something that's invaded her body, Lord. We just come against it in the name of Jesus, declare that she would be made whole from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. We ask that you guide the doctors as they would see what it is and know what it is. We pray for peace and grace and mercy and perfect peace to come in the life of Misty and Michael. Pray that Gabby will be back up on her feet soon, and that this will be a great, great opportunity for them to draw closer as a family. And according to your word, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to their purpose. So we trust you, Lord, to move in their life and to heal that precious little girl in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mike's a good guy. Amen. Well, everybody's a good guy. Michael's a good guy. So I didn't really get I struggled a bit here today. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know what tomorrow's show is going to be about, because I'm going to be at the airport tomorrow. So who knows? Can you imagine this? All these people going to leave here tomorrow. Oh, Lord. What's that? Oh, goodness. So pray for grace and mercy and traveling mercies and all that stuff for Michelle and I, that we can get out of here and get back home and get back about our Father's business. Anybody wrap anything up here?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Jared.
Oh, just as an aside with the neighborhood watch thing, just something to consider is
they are.
Listen, people are scared. They're because the media is telling them to be scared. So that's your in. You just say, "Hey, look, guys, Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about Charlottesville? Have you heard about? You didn't know that the police outnumbered the people, the permitted people, 2-1, and they didn't do anything. Did you know that?" So I think it might be time to start considering bringing security into your own hands a little bit, because the cops aren't going to do anything if it gets rough, because they're scared too.
Also, where you live, just common sense, Hey, listen, You notice any strange cars driving around here? If we see that, should we notify you? Just appeal to the common sense. Not into the prepping, not into EMTs, not any of that stuff. Just say, hey, we got to keep an eye on each other here. Anybody interested in watching our neighborhood? That's where I would start with it.
How about let us be something that we complain to the church about, you know, brother, you and I, you know, let's not just right. be hearers of this word, but let's be doers of this word. How's that?
Amen. Amen.
When you get off the cube, guys.
Pick up our net and throw it on the other side of the boat and let's start fishing. See, here's what's, I'm guilty of this. I'm just telling you, I'm guilty of it. You know what I say? Fish ain't biting. They ain't biting. Well, buddy, they are somewhere. They are somewhere. And so we have to keep throwing our net in the water. We have to keep changing our bait and rotating our bait and checking our bait. And I think people are scared, Jared. I think that's a great, great point. They're scared. They don't know what to do. Even the unsaved, they know something's wrong, man. They know something's wrong. And the last thing they want to hear is about the eclipse and rapture and. Yeah, let's try to minister to them right where they live. I appreciate y'all bearing with me today. Tech has been, it's been on my end. Tried to do the best I could. Didn't get to what I wanted to get to. Yeah, is that Joe?
People, please check my Facebook page. There is a clarion call for prayer, and Sheila Zielinski put it up, and it's about a 7-minute video, but it's on my Facebook page. And
how would
check
they find
it out.
It, Joe?
Okay.
How would they find that, Joe?
Just go to my Facebook page, Joseph Farrell.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, Joe, there you go. Say that.
Okay. Just go to my Facebook page, Joseph Farrell. And for those of you who have it, and if you're not, you can send me an email at jfarrell@tx.rr.com, and I'll get it to you one way or another.
Say that again.
Or you can look up Sheila Zielinski.
Right.
Weekend Warrior.
Joe, I just listened to it this morning, Joe. It's on Sheila's site. You can just click Sheila, and it's there. I listened to it already.
Yeah.
Okay.
We definitely got to get that out.
All right. Hey, God bless you guys. Thanks for hanging there with me today. We baptized 60-some people yesterday. It was awesome.
Sweet.
It was awesome. A lot of great stuff's going on. Got to come back to reality, though, right? We've got to live our lives right where we are. All right, man. Hey, bless you guys. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.